now regularly, pretty regularly. And I'd say the last month and a half, 2 months, I've probably seen more happen in the harvest than at any other two-month period probably in my life so far. We've baptized seven people since January. Yeah, since the beginning of January. Yeah, isn't that awesome? And these are like every single one of them. It's not like, and this is, it's not just like, you know, kids in the church that, you know, get older and want to, even though that's legitimate, I'm not minimizing that. But I mean, these are people who we went out in the harvest, we found them, and we shared Jesus with them and met with them for Bible studies. They came to the point where they understood the message, they believed it, and they were willing to follow Jesus, and we baptized them. Most of them, we baptized them in their own bathtub. In fact, I think all of them have been baptized in bathtubs. And so we, just this week, we baptized three people just this week, all from the same house. And we went on, it was several weeks ago, we knocked on their door, and we met them. And one of them's a teenager who's married, and she, you know, is pregnant. And we started sharing the gospel with her, and she knew, her knowledge of Jesus and the Bible was almost at a zero. I mean, we met with her weekly, sometimes multiple times a week. For the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been meeting with her and different people in her family that would join us in her household, and just kind of building that base of understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, what salvation is, what it requires of us, etc. And we got there on Monday, and so she was interested, but not like there yet. She was just kind of learning. And then on Monday, we got there, and we knocked on her door, and she answers the door, and she was fearful, really fearful, because her stepdad had recently visited a church somewhere, and he was demonized, and the demons just manifested, and he ended up destroying a lot of stuff and ended up in the hospital with injuries from that experience. And so she's like, I'm so scared. And she actually confided in us, and she goes, you know, because I think her stepdad or somebody taught her this. She's like, I have asked the spirit of death to give me a child. That's what she said. I've asked this a spirit of death to give me a child, and now I'm afraid it's going to take it away. So we talked to her how that's sin, because you're going to other spirits for things that you're supposed to only go to God for. I told her the devil's a liar. He can't create anything. He doesn't create life. There's only one creator, and it's God. And we talked to her about how that's sin, and the only way to, and she was so scared about demons, and we're like, the only way to be safe from demons is you have to follow Jesus as your Lord and worship him only, and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was like, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're following Jesus, you're safe. You know, you have protection. You don't have to be afraid. If you're not, you're probably not very safe. And so we started sharing with her. We read her a story out of the Bible about a guy that Jesus, you know, set him free from a whole bunch of demons. And faith started rising in her heart. And then she was like, yes, I am willing to worship Jesus only as my God and to follow him and repent and turn from our sins. And we talked to her about repentance and what that is. She's like, I want to follow him. And she got baptized that day. We baptized her right away. Anna was with me, baptized her in her bathtub. And then we prayed for her afterward and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we prayed for her. And the Spirit of God was ministering to her. And we're like, what's happening? And she's like, I just feel peace. No, when we walked in, she was feeling fear. And then now she was feeling peace. This is the presence of the Lord. So then another little girl who was in the house, 10-year-old girl, was like, I want to follow Jesus too. She's lived a rough life in some ways. And she's like, I want to follow Jesus too, little 10-year-old sweetie. I mean, she's precious. And we're like, awesome. Tomorrow when your mom is here, we'll come back tomorrow when your mom is here and then we'll baptize you so that she can participate. So we came back the next day and the mom was there. And we were sharing the gospel with her. The Spirit came upon her as we're talking to her. We were prophesying to her. Like, literally, you could feel like there was a moment. Like, the Spirit came in and took over the room. And she got, I think she just, she started just on her own crying out to the Lord in her own words. It was in Spanish, and I wish I would have known what it was. Ana knows what she was saying. I heard the word corazón a bunch of times, so something about her heart she was saying, but she was just pouring out her heart to Jesus, worshiping him, giving her life to him, because by her own admission, she's like, I'm not really walking with God. I'm not following the Lord right now, but then she gave her life to Jesus right then, and we baptized her, and then she baptized her daughter, her 10-year-old little girl. Isn't that awesome? And after they got baptized, we prayed for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? Because Peter said in Acts chapter 2, he says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we laid hands on the mom and the daughter, and the Spirit came on them. And this is cool. 10-year-old little girl. I asked her, I was like, because I sensed the Spirit ministering to her, but I didn't know what was happening for sure. So after we got done praying, I'm like, so were you feeling the presence of God? She's like, yes. I was like, what did he feel like? She goes, you started praying and I saw light. She goes, I just saw bright light. And she goes, and then I had this vision, and she started describing the vision. And I don't even remember what it was, but she told us what it was at the time. And then I heard God talk to me, and he says, I am going to bless you and your mother. I'm like, yep, that's the voice of God. I'm like, you're hearing the Holy Spirit now. Now, here's the cool thing. Immediately when she says that, the verse comes to my mind. I think it's Acts 2:17, where Peter quotes the book of Joel, and he says, and I will pour out my Spirit in the last days on your sons and your daughters, and talks about how they will dream dreams and see what? Visions. And I thought, that's so cool. Like, we pray for you to get the Holy Spirit, and you immediately start having visions. Later, we were driving, you know, because she went over to Anna's house to hang out for a little bit. The little girl did. And even in the car, she just keeps saying, like, new things. God was still talking to her in the car. She's like, now he's telling me this and this. And it was all like, yep, that's the Holy Spirit. That's good. It's just powerful. And she's like, and she was kind of cold when she got out of the bathtub after getting baptized. She goes, and too, like, when I felt the presence of God, it's like he made me warm. I felt warmth. And I'm like, this is cool. Like, this is so awesome. And I'm so thankful. So we went, yes, a couple days ago, Anna and I, she's been going with me this whole time. And we went, and Caitlin was with me when I met them for the first time. And so we went back the other day, and I'm like, I'm going to be in Thailand for 2 weeks, so I won't be here. But here's, and I just gave her a few simple things. Here's what you need to do. And she was writing down the instructions. Like, this is how you lead a Bible study and you lead prayer meeting in your house. Gather with your family. You worship the Lord together. You read the word and obey it. Pray for one another. And then invite others. Invite your friends and tell them what God's doing for you. And she's like, taking notes. She's like, okay. I said, when do you want to meet? She goes, I think we're going to meet on Wednesdays. I'm like, sounds good. I'll check in on you when I get back. So pray for them. It's the beginning of a new church family. That's happening out there, that God would strengthen them. So isn't that cool? Yeah, absolutely amazing. It's just a super ripe harvest right now. I'm so excited for that. And there's another lady. I'm saying this. Don't worry. I'll be done at 12. But I'm saying this because, like, God's just doing so much stuff that a lot of times you don't get to hear it because it's just happening. And then we're on Sunday morning. We don't have time to share it every week, what God's doing. But there's a lot happening. I met a lady. She's from Guatemala in the harvest. God put it on my heart to go to a certain neighborhood. I went to the neighborhood the next day, and he told me what time to go. I asked him, I'm like, where do you want me to go tomorrow? And he put this trailer court on my heart that was in town. I'm like, okay. I was like, what time do you want me to go? And then 2 and 4 p.m. came to my mind. And I thought, twice? I was like, okay. So I went at around 2 p.m., and I met this lady she's a believer from Guatemala, but she has cancer. And so we prayed for healing for her. And then I was like, you know, I'll come back. If you want, I'll come back. And I encouraged her. I'm like, get your Bible and just read the Gospels. Read the testimonies of Jesus healing people just to strengthen your faith. And so I was like, I'll come back at 4 o'clock and I'll read a story with you from the Bible about Jesus healing people, and we'll pray again. She's like, okay. So I went back at 4. We took the Lord's Supper. I brought, like, grape juice and stuff. And she's like, this is the first time I've ever taken the Lord's Supper. And I'm like, wow. And so we did that. I've been back several times since then. Caitlin went with me there too. Daniel Summers went with me one time there. And we prayed for her for healing. Well, she got the news from her doctor just like a week or so ago that the cancer has spread So rather than getting better, it's gotten worse. And the doctor was like, you know, estimates she has about 6 months to live. And she has a, she's not that old. She's probably in her 30s, 40s, I'd guess, maybe 40s. Can never tell. Like the non-white people, they age so well. Like sometimes I'll see him, I'm like, yeah, that person's in their 20s. And they're like, yeah, I'm 48. I'm like, what? No, you're not. I'm like, how do you look so great? So, but anyway, she's got a little girl who's in elementary school. But pray for her. Pray for her healing. Okay? Pray for her healing. Will you guys do that for me? Will you just pray, God, heal this woman? Her name is Carla. So just pray for Carla that God would heal her of the stomach cancer, completely remove it in Jesus' name. So, okay. So I will get into the message. Next, water. I really love water next week. I looked at the forecast and where we're going to be in Thailand, 100 degrees next Sunday. And I'm going, wow, that's like, I was told that this time of year it's going to be in the 80s, something like that. I'm like, that's, I'm driving in snow today and in a week I'll be 100 degrees. So, but hey, praise God, I'm excited. Last time I was in a church service, I was in Italy in super hot weather. Autumn and I, we were there last August. Oh my goodness, it was stifling. I mean, it's probably around 100 degrees out, just baking outside and humid. It was just a sweat factory. And then we go into the church, which is on the second floor of a building, no air conditioning. A room that's probably about this size, maybe a little bit bigger, but no air conditioning whatsoever. And it's packed full of people. It was so hot. I mean, it was just sweat through. I was wearing this shirt. Don't worry, I've washed it since August. And but I mean, just sweat through this thing. But you know what? The Spirit was poured out in such power. So I'm like, yeah, just bring on the heat, you know, whatever, as long as the Spirit gets poured out. So today I'm going to talk about just kind of an overview of what the Bible teaches about the end times. I'm going to teach from Matthew chapter 24, which is actually Jesus' longest, most concentrated sermon where he talks about this subject, about the end times. And, you know, some people are super interested in this subject. I'm one of those people. Some others are like, they don't really ever think about it very much because they're like, you know, who can really understand it and why does it even matter? And I just want to tell you this, a testimony. It matters, I'm going to say, first of all, it matters because how many of you know if Jesus teaches something, it matters. Isn't that true? We have no reason if God is taking our time. He is only on the earth for 33 years. His ministry was only about 3 years long on the earth. And if he takes his precious time and he focuses in on talking about this subject, and the rest of the Bible, there's over 150 chapters in the Bible that actually talk about details about God's end time plan. And it's like if God makes it that big of a priority, whether we understand it or not, it's worth giving our attention to learn. Amen. The good news is this, is that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you if you follow Jesus. And so you can get the Bible and say, Holy Spirit, help me understand. And just read it and meditate on it. And God will give you understanding. And understanding, a lot of times, it's progressive, right? It's kind of a process. Like you understand a little bit here, then you understand this piece, and then you see how they start connecting. And you're like, oh, now I'm seeing the whole storyline. Now it makes sense. And then your heart starts getting moved. And I just want to just say this as a testimony. Anytime that you understand God's plan for you, any aspect of it, it will give you a burning heart for God and his kingdom. When I say burning heart, I'm just talking about flaming with passionate desire for Jesus. How many of you love to have a flaming heart? I mean, I love when my heart is on fire and I'm just like, God, you're so beautiful. I'm so excited about your plan for my life, your plan for the nations, your plan for the earth, that I get to be a part of it. This is awesome. I love you. I love you. I love you. And when you understand any aspect of his plan for you, and then you line up with it and do what he says to do, it produces excitement and hope and joy. Actually, the Bible calls the return of Jesus the blessed hope. Isn't that a cool phrase? It's a blessed hope, because this is actually a perfect description of what erupts inside of you when you start understanding what the Bible says about the end times. And so I'm going to just give a quick overview, and I'm praying that you'll leave with a burning heart. So Matthew chapter 24, let's get into it. I would actually love to just teach through this, taking my time really slowly sometime over a long period of time. But today I'll just do a quick overview. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, so picture Jesus sitting on the mountain. Now the Mount of Olives, I've been to Jerusalem. I've been on the Mount of Olives. It's like from here to like that building over there, that brick building you can see over there, that would be like the Temple Mount from the Mount of Olives. So it's actually really close by, the city of Jerusalem. You sit on the Mount of Olives, and we just look down on the city of Jerusalem, and now you can see the gold thing, the Dome of the Rock that's there, and you can see the walls around the city, and it's, anyway, all that kind of stuff. So it's actually really close. So Jesus and his disciples, they're sitting on this mountain. They're looking down at the temple, which is about that far away. And his disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Because they were commenting in the verses before this. I don't have them on your sheet. But they were like talking about how beautiful the temple was. They're just sitting there on the mountain looking at the temple. They're like, "Man, it's so beautiful." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, you know what? Like, it's all going to be torn down." And they're like, "What?" They're like, "Yeah, like the whole thing is going to be torn down." And they go, "Well, then, tell us, when will these things be?" So that's what they're talking about. They're like, when is it going to get torn down? They're like, when will these things be? And then what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So here's the question that for the rest of this chapter, you got to keep this in mind. This is a conversation Jesus is having with disciples. He's answering this question. Jesus, what are the signs that will mark your coming, that will let us know that we're near your second coming? He's like, okay, and he's about to give them a bunch of signs because they asked. And then they said, and what are the signs that will mark your coming and the end of the age? Talking about the end of this present evil age where sin is dominating the governments of the earth. But when Jesus returns, we've talked about that last week, he's going to be king, he's going to replace all the wicked leaders, and it's going to be a new age of righteousness. Amen. So they're like, what are the signs? Tell us so we can know what to look for that say that this is coming. So he says, okay, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." The Christ, do you remember what Christ means? I think I said this to you guys recently. What does Christ mean? Anointed one? Yeah. And it's a term for the Messiah. He was called the Anointed One. It referred to the Old Testament prophesied that a Jewish king would come that would rule the nations and usher in peace and righteousness in the entire earth. And we looked at that last week. But he says, many are going to come saying, "I'm the Anointed One. I'm the Christ." And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. How many of you know like that's happening a little bit right now, isn't it? I mean, it seems like, you know, you go through a whole year and there's a rumor of so many different wars that are actually happening and rumors of wars that potentially could happen between Israel and Iran, the United States and North Korea, the United States and Iran, and on and on and on. And then just in the Middle East and in other nations, you know, there's just these wars and things that are happening. It says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Listen, I love this. See that you are not troubled. That's a great exhortation right there. It's like crazy stuff will be happening. He's like, but you are not to be anxious or fearful over any of these things because we have our hopes set on the victory of Jesus. He's going to come and he's going to win. Amen. Then it says, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be, and these are all different signs, there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains. Everybody say the beginning of birth pains. Okay, let me give you this illustration, because this is what Jesus is talking about. I personally never had a baby, never given birth to a baby. Yeah, praise the Lord. But I've watched it happen, and I took Lamaze classes, and I learned a little bit about how the process works. Yeah, I sacrifice. So when a mother is getting close to giving birth to her baby, she has contractions or birth pains. You guys with me? And a lot of times when she first goes into labor, I mean, depending on who it is, they may have like 24 hours left before the baby is actually born. But at first, she starts having those birth pains, but usually they're pretty mild and they're spread out far apart. Like maybe like every 30 minutes or something like that, she'll have another one. And it's usually pretty mild. Like she can still laugh and have conversation with friends in the room at these beginning stages of the birth pains. You guys with me? But as she draws nearer to the moment to give birth, what happens to the birth pains? They get more intense, they get stronger, and they get closer and closer together. Till, you know, at the end, she's like every minute, every 2 minutes, it's like another one, and it's like epic. Every one is epic. It's like huge. It's like she's not just laughing and making jokes with friends anymore. She is focused. I mean, she is focused. She's like, you know, she's focused. And then the moment comes for the baby to come forth, and all of the birth pains are actually getting the baby into position for the final birth. And then the birth happens, and it's pretty intense, but then there's rejoicing. You guys with me? And this is what Jesus is talking about. He's like, the earth is getting ready to birth a new age. Giving birth to the age of the Messiah, where Jesus is on the earth ruling the nations as the King of Israel, and righteousness and peace and joy and prosperity and blessing fills every single nation. Like the birthing of a new age is about to happen. And he says, since the time of Christ, we've seen wars and rumors of wars. We've seen earthquakes. There's been famines. There's been pestilences. You guys with me? Like all of these signs that he just gave, they've been happening for a couple thousand years. But they're like, the nature of these ones he just gave, he says, they're like birth pains. And he says, and as we get nearer to the return of my return and the birthing of the new age, there's going to be more of them. They're going to be closer together and they're going to become more intense. Does this make sense? So all these signs that he just gave in verses 4-8, these are birth pains. And we're in that season right now. And these things are happening. They're going to continue to happen and escalate even more. Widespread, you know, religious deception, all the things he talks about in here, they're going to happen more and more. So those are the general signs he gives. But now he's going to shift, and we're going to verse 9. And he says, and I want you to notice also in this passage, the chronology of it. Everything he's listing, all these signs, he's giving them in chronological order of when they're going to take place. That's why he says, many will come on. He gives the birth pain signs that I just read. And then he, in verse 9, it says, then, in other words, after the birth pains, right? He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So, man, that's not my favorite prophecy. You know when Jesus gives you a prophetic word? God, just talk to me about my future. Okay. I prophesy. A time is coming when they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by every nation. I mean, praise God. Wow. Every single nation. It's like, maybe I can go over next door to flee to this country. He's like, no, you will be hated in every single nation because we belong to him, right? Because the rebellion in the earth against Jesus is going to get more intense, and the hatred for him and his ways are going to manifest more openly as we get closer to the return of the Lord. And listen, when you come carrying him, there's a bullseye on you. Does that make sense? But we're not afraid of that. It's an opportunity to testify about Jesus, and we're going to overcome and win. And many will get saved too. But then he says, and then, see, it's another chronology word, verse 10, many will be offended. He's talking about this season. Now, and again, like birth pains, you know, there's persecution has been happening since Jesus' day, since before Jesus' day, right? Persecution has been happening. But again, it's going to get way more intense in the earth and become way more common throughout the nations of the earth than at any other point in history. You can read about that in, I think it's in Revelation 12. It describes it pretty good. 12 and 13, I think. And then it says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And this is what happens. It's like there's going to be, he says it here, I'll just, yeah. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, that's what I talk about. Lawlessness is the rebellion against God and his ways will abound. The love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, where's the part I'm looking for? Oh, well. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so, again, he's giving more signs here that are going to happen. Great persecution. It's going to get more intense, more common. And it's going to, there's being hated in all nations. False prophets, many false prophets rising up. There's always been false prophets, but it's going to become more common. And they're going to walk, honestly, in greater demonic authority. There's actually a person described in the book of Revelation and Thessalonians and other places that is called the false prophet. You know, there's many of them, but there's one that will walk in supernatural demonic power to the point where he will actually perform miraculous signs and wonders under the anointing of demonic spirits that will actually deceive masses of people to worship Satan, to worship the Antichrist. And he'll have great power and great authority in the earth to require people to worship Satan, to worship Antichrist. If they don't, they're killed. He'll have them killed. And he will actually, the governments in the earth will be unified. Not all of them, but a significant empire will arise that will actually give him governing authority to enact his policies. He'll perform signs and wonders, demanding people worship the Antichrist, Satan. And if they don't, he'll have them beheaded. So it's going to get a little more intense. And then what happens is people become afraid. And it says people will become offended. You know, these conditions arise in the earth. People will be offended. They'll be afraid. They'll start betraying one another. Do you know right now in China, they have these cameras, like video cameras, like all over, like just everywhere. They're like, so they basically are able to monitor and watch the activity of its citizens, like when they leave the house and they know, okay, at this time, you know, this person left this building and they went here and they met with these people, etc. And they're actually, and this is, I've heard this, and they've actually got this system now where if they can control people through a system of rewards and penalties, if people are doing activity that they don't like and they're monitoring all this stuff, right, it's like they're able to say, okay, you know, this person, your family member, is going and meeting with these believers over in this place. We got them on camera. They need to stop doing it. And they actually can go to, and they can actually penalize families. Says, you need to talk to them, because as long as they continue this activity, we're going to penalize your family, you know, and like severe penalties. So you could see how unbelieving families even would be like, why do you keep disobeying putting us in this mess because of your God. We don't understand. You know, we only believe in white. Just stop doing it. Don't you care about us? You look how we're suffering because of your faith in Jesus and you doing what he says. Stop it. Can you see it? And this is so demonic. It's so evil, you know, that a government would do this. But it's just a prelude. It's just a foreshadowing of where things are going. And you could see in an atmosphere like this how many will be offended and will betray one another, even family members. Jesus talked about that as well, but I got to keep going. Verse 15. Therefore, verse 14, by the way, that's a good one. Happy sign. Aren't you thankful for the happy signs? There's all these other signs. These are things that will mark my coming in the end of the age. And he says, by the way, the Great Commission is going to be completed. The gospel will be preached to every nation on the earth. So hallelujah, amen. We will be, I mean, even in this environment, in these conditions that he's describing, there will be a victorious church walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in love, loving not their lives to the death, preaching Jesus with signs and wonders, and every nation, there'll be great revival. Billion souls at least are coming into the kingdom. There will be a great harvest in the earth. Amen. So it's going to be tough, but it's going to be glorious all at the same time. Let me just say this. I got 9 minutes left. I was in 2007, I was just at the church reading my Bible during a prayer meeting. And I just happened to be reading in Matthew 24. And I remember I was reading these birth pains, all these signs that I just read to you. And my heart was being gripped by the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Because I'm reading this and it's hitting me how real this is. And I'm like, it's very likely this could happen in my lifetime. And if not mine, very likely it could happen with my children. And my kids were young at the time. This is back in 2007. And I felt sober-minded. The fear of the Lord. And I remember just thinking, these questions were going through my mind. I was thinking about my kids who were really young at the time. And I thought, do I have the spiritual strength to stand for Christ in the midst of these conditions? Am I training my children to be the kind of disciple of Jesus that will stand boldly and shine for Jesus and not compromise in those conditions? And I thought about, I was a pastor, right? So I'm like, I thought about people in my church. I'm like, am I, as a leader, am I equipping the people in my church to be the kind of disciple of Jesus that could live in those conditions and thrive and shine in their walk with the Lord? And actually, I remember distinctly there was one person in the church at that time. I thought, I don't think they would. I see compromise in them already. They're kind of like half in, half out. I'm like, I think if this happened, I think they'd fall away unless something happens and changes inside their heart. And they're not, they've been in the church now for a long time. And I'm saying that even this morning. I love all you guys. I love my kids, but I think we need to let the Spirit of the Lord grip our hearts and ask him the honest questions. God, am I ready to be in these kind of conditions and stand for Jesus and shine and thrive with a joyful spirit? And then ask him, say, Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me? I give you permission. Prepare my heart to be that kind of a follower of Jesus. That I could face death. That I could, even if my own family, whom I love, were turning against me and misunderstanding me and think I hated them just because I'm obeying you, that I would be able to, in humility, but in courage and in love, stay the course and keep following Jesus. And we all want to just say, yeah, I'd be ready, until you get in the situation. You guys with me? I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, I'll be ready. I'm like, I've learned. Praise God, Lord, let me be. I pray that I've learned. But I don't just say, oh, yeah, if I was ever in that situation, no problem. I'm like, Lord, I know me. I know me now. I mean, I have a hard day, and I wake up, and I just feel a little emotional that day. I have a hard time being obedient to Jesus and in those conditions. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is. I mean, there's little, like, it's the grace of God. He'll let you go right now through little mini shakings. You'll go through something and be like, whoa, this is rocking me. Like, I'm feeling fear here. I'm feeling super tempted to not be bold and to just be silent and not speak the truth here. And it's from the Holy Spirit. He's giving you a little, hey, this is what's going on in your heart right now. And those are the moments, of opportune moments for training. If you turn to the Holy Spirit and say, God, help me in my weakness, strengthen me here. And then he helps you and you build up a history with the Lord and he prepares your heart for what the things that you're going to be coming into. You guys with me? But are you ready? I would like you to ask the Holy Spirit this questions. Am I ready? You're a parent. How are you raising your children to serve the Lord? Are you preparing them to know that you're not going to be with them all the time? They're going to be in situations, they're going to be tempted. They're going to be mocked and ridiculed. They already likely are. They're going to be tempted to sin. Are they going to get into those moments and just say, why do I have to go through all this just for this faith that my parents told me to believe in? And here's the question, do they own it for themselves? Because if they're only doing it to make you happy, when the conditions get right, they'll bail on it. But do they know Jesus for themselves? Are they standing for Christ? And I would say that to you kids. It's easy being raised in a Christian home. Like, you have so much that is done for you. You have so many battles that are fought for you that you never have to deal with. Because you're just raised, you're used to it. You have so much understanding and knowledge that you are raised with that it's so easy to take for granted, but it is a gift that nations of the earth crave, like 1/10 of the knowledge of God that you've been given. And you've been raised, but sometimes you can take it for granted, but you don't waste it. Don't just go on cruise control living in your Christian home. Are you building a history with God? Do you have a prayer life for real? Not just my mom makes me go to a prayer meeting and I sit there and endure until she lets me leave. Do you know him? Do you pray? Can you fill a journal with prayers that have been answered that you've prayed? Do you have experience with God? Do you know his voice? Do you feel his presence? Have you let God move through you in spiritual gifts? Have you prophesied? Have you shared the gospel? Have you ever taken a stand around your friends that felt uncomfortable because it was right? God's going to put you, he's going to put my own kids in situations just like this, and your heart's going to be, the strength of who you are will be revealed in the moment. And don't let it condemn you. Be encouraged if you do well. I mean, God likes that. Sometimes he lets us go through tests because he's like, man, you got this. Like, you're stronger than you know. He'll put us in a test and boom, the strength pops out. And we're like, that was awesome. He's like, I know. I knew you had that in you. Like, be encouraged, man. It's working. What you're doing, keep doing it. But there's other times you get there and if you falter, that's when you turn to the Lord because he's a merciful God. You say, God, strengthen my heart. Strengthen my heart. I never want to get into a situation and compromise again like that. God, I do not want to go silent again when I'm in that moment. God, help me to build my identity on what you say about me. And it's just been revealed that I'm basing my identity and my value upon the affirmation of my friends. That's why I just compromise to make them happy. So God, change my heart, strengthen me in this area. And if you'll take advantage of these little shakings, you'll grow strong. And the next challenge comes and you're going to be ready for it. You guys with me? This is how we prepare our hearts. The number one thing that we need to be doing for the end times is not physical preparation. It is spiritual preparation. I know people who, they get into paranoia and they get into fear and they do all kinds of physical preparation, but they don't prepare their hearts. And the number one exhortation Jesus gave when he teach on the end times is watch and pray. Watch and pray. You know, I think of Peter in the garden. He got this one mixed up. But praise God, God's merciful, and he got another chance to get it right. And Jesus looks at his disciples, and he goes, guys, I'm about to be arrested, and then I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles, and they're going to crucify me. But don't worry, I'm going to come back after 3 days. and it just goes right over their head. They don't get it. And then Peter's like, you're not going to be arrested. What are you talking? I rebuke you, Jesus, in the name of, well, I rebuke you. And Jesus just looks at him, honest but compassionate, but he's honest. And he's like, Peter, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're thinking carnally minded. You have no clue what God's really doing right now. And he says, before the rooster crows tonight, you're going to deny me that you know me 3 times. And Peter doesn't prepare his heart spiritually. I mean, you get a word like that from Jesus, you get on your knees and you say, God, have mercy, please. Is there any way? Like, get my heart ready now so that doesn't happen, right? But Peter, no. He's like, no, Jesus, you got it wrong this time. He's like, I will never deny you. Even if all these losers... If they did, I understand, you and I both know that I'm probably the best, right? That I'm probably the strongest. So even if they would deny you, not me, I'd be the last man standing. Yeah, I got this, Jesus. You can count on me that night. And then Jesus is in a garden and he's going through the shaking too. He's sweating drops of blood, knowing the tribulation he is about to endure and go through on the cross. And he's going to bear the sins of the world. He's going to be tortured and crucified. And what does he do? He goes to spiritual preparation. He prays, Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me if there's any other way, but not my will, yours be done. And he's strengthening himself in the Lord in prayer. And then he comes and sees his disciples and they're sleeping. And you know what he says to them? Guess what he says? The same thing he tells us when he talks about the end times. He says, guys, wake up, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Spiritual preparation. Watch and pray. He says, then he gives the reason why. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. He says, I know that you mean well and you think you're so strong, and I love that you want to be strong. He's like, you're weaker than you think. You've got to get into the place of prayer, get a history with God, and get your heart strong in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he tells him to do that. He goes back and does what he said. He prays, and guess what? God sends angels to comfort him and strengthen him. Now the moment comes. He's told them about it. He's warned them about it. He's exhorted them to prepare. The time for preparation is past, and the storm breaks into the garden. And they come and they arrest him. You know what Peter does? He reacts to a spiritual battle in the flesh. And he pulls out a physical weapon. He had done physical preparation, but he hadn't done spiritual preparation. He pulls out a sword. And he actually cuts off one of the ears of the guard. I think he was going for the head and missed and got the ear instead. And then Jesus stops him. He's like, put your sword away. You have no idea what is happening. I told you you didn't know what God was doing right now. I am supposed to go to the cross. I'm supposed to submit to these people. Puts the guy's ear back on. It was nice of Jesus. And then goes and lets the people crucify him. A storm is coming upon the nations of the earth, and right here on the United States of America, the storm is erupting in our midst as we talk. It's happening, but so many people are blind to it, or they see it, but they're reacting in the flesh. They're reacting in hatred and anger. They're reacting in physical preparation, which I don't think some physical preparation is bad if that's what the Lord speaks to you to do. My wife and I have saved up things. You know, if there's a hard time that we would have food and things like that. But you know what? Here's what you want to do. Spiritual preparation first. You watch and you pray. You go to the Lord and then do what he says. And if you're a Joseph in Genesis 37 through 50 and God says 7 years of famine are coming, but 7 years, I'm going to bless you with abundance before that. Store it up and that's my provision to get you through. Then you do what he says, right? You guys with me? But there are people who are doing physical preparation that are so unprepared spiritually, it's not going to matter. When these times come upon us, I mean, I heard one Christian guy say, of one Christian guy who was like, I'm storing up ammunition. He's like, if they're going to come for me, if I'm going down, I'm going down in a blaze of glory. And I'm like, dude, you are completely in the wrong spirit. You are so far off from what Jesus has told us to do. You're nowhere near the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. Like you're that, what? Would these times break in? I mean, what are you fighting to live like an extra 2 years before Jesus shows up? Like kill as many as you can and preserve your life and live an extra 2 years for what? Like we have to prepare our hearts. We have to prepare our hearts. Watch and pray. Watch and pray, and I'll finish with this, and I got to be done. Watch means you're watching for the kingdom of God to come. You have your heart set on the return and the reign of Jesus over all the earth, the blessed hope. You're watching for it, and as part of your looking for that, you're so excited, you're eagerly anticipating his arrival and his return. Part of that process is you're watching for the signs he gave that mark his return. Does that make sense? And you have your heart and hope set on eternity with him, so you're in a place of hope and faith, and so you're protected from anxiety, fear. And then pray. Watch and pray. What is the pray? That's your present tense communion with the Holy Spirit, ongoing every day. You're living in that spirit of prayer. You're maintaining that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, worship, and then intercessory prayers, petition prayers. Amen? Amen. We're done. You can go ahead and stand. I just won't finish the passage.